Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This week's show is brought to you by Sock Fancy. They deliver awesomely random socks every month with free shipping anywhere in the world. And there are hundreds of designs, so you'll never get the same pair twice, and you can cancel anytime. Act now and you can get an extra pair of socks added to any subscription for free when you go to sockfancy.com/collider and enter code collider at checkout. That's sockfancy.com/collider to get a free pair added to your subscription when you enter the code collider at checkout.
A science story, huh?
He's NYU scientist.
I felt right.
I was so
and I just thought, well,
I had figured it out.
It was that golden moment.
Because science was on my side.
Hi everyone, I'm Ben Lilly, and welcome to the Story Collider, where we bring you true personal stories about science. This week's story is from Matt Hardings. It was recorded in March 2016 at the Downtown Library in San Diego, California, as part of the San Diego Festival of Science and Engineering. This program was jointly supported by the NSF NASA Center for Chemical Evolution and the NSF Center for Aerosol Impacts on Climate and the Environment.
So we all get 5 minutes of fame in our lives, right? And so I'm going to tell you a story about my 5 minutes of fame. I had prepared. I was ready. You never know when the call is going to come. But when my call came, I was on it. So it's not often that the Today Show calls up a scientist and says, we want to talk. And that scientist is you. And they say, we want to talk about bacon. And that scientist was me, and I said, yes. I was ready. Finally, someone wanted to hear all the crazy things that I've been making up in my mind. Now, I'm not an actual bacon scientist, although, you know, a boy can dream, right? You know? So I'm not a real bacon scientist. And the Today Show found me through sort of a circuitous route. So this group in Spain, in Badajoz, Spain, Maria Timon and her colleagues in Spain had done this really amazing study on looking at the aroma compounds that are in fried bacon. And so there are some 150 or so aroma compounds that make up what we know as the smell of bacon. Amazing. So this research was turned into an infographic by Andrew Brunning, who lives in the UK, on his blog, Compound Interest. And if none of you have visited there before, he has some amazing infographics. And his stuff is now in, for the chemists out there, CNE News every week. He's got infographics in there as well. So this research got put into infographic form. And then from there, because the infographic was so cool, some friends of mine at the American Chemical Society made a video of bacony goodness. Now, this video eventually went viral, right? It's one of these things that it just took off. And so my friends at the ACS started getting all these calls from reporters. People wanted to talk to them about bacon and find out about, you know, what was going on. And for the most part, they can handle themselves, right? The people at ACS are amazing, and the people who did this video were amazing. But when the Today Show called, they said, we need a scientist, and we need to put them on screen, and we need to do that today. So they had to find someone who happened to be a scientist, who happened to be local, who could speak coherently about this research that had been done in Spain, and, you know, who maybe knew a little thing about bacon. And so my friends suggested me, right? So they suggested me. And so, you know, of course I jumped at the chance to do this, right? It's something that I, you know, talk about bacon, yes. But I really had to figure out what was going on. But thankfully, right? I've been thinking about bacon for a long time. And my friends at the ACS, they knew that, you know, I do have, you know, while I aspire to be a bacon scientist, right? They knew I have some background in the area, right? So I created a course at American for non-scientists called The Chemistry of Cooking. And I've written about the Maillard reaction as well. And the Maillard reaction is the chemical reaction that takes bacon from pink and floppy into brown and crispy. So I had those things going for me, right? But my friends at the ACS didn't know that I have sort of a lifelong infatuation with bacon as well. Growing up, several of my aunts and uncles were hog farmers, and some of my cousins are still running the farms that their parents had. And so when I was a kid, I got to show some pigs at the county fair in Mercer County in Auglaize County, Ohio. And so I've told this story before about showing pigs, and people will ask me, what were the pigs' names? Well, the pigs don't have names. Real farmers don't name their pets, which is funny because I was not a real farmer. And we, you know, growing up, I had about 6 acres at home, and we would have cows and sheep. Our cows had names. So I was not a real farmer. We named our cows. But my cousins, they didn't name their pigs. And it's always a point of contention because us non-farmer cousins would go to visit our farming cousins, and we would show their hogs, and we would win the blue ribbons, and our farming cousins would lose the blue ribbon. They wouldn't win the blue ribbon at all, and they were so upset that we were winning their blue ribbons with their hogs. Anyway, so I knew a thing or two about bacon, and you know, truth be told, I've had my share of the stuff over the years, right? So I had these ideas about bacon, right? And I've always kind of wondered, right? And since I've gotten into chemistry, I wonder, you know, what is it about bacon that really makes us love it? And everything comes back to the Maillard reaction. So the Maillard reaction is not just responsible for bacon, but it's responsible for searing a steak. It's responsible for the browning that you get on cookies when you bake them. It's responsible for toast. It's responsible for caramelized onions. Right, so there are all of these things, right, that owe their flavor and everything from the Maillard reaction, and so I was prepared, right? I was ready for this interview, or at least I thought I was. So when the Today Show called, they said, "All right, we need you here in an hour. We want to do this taping in an hour," and. So I hear this and I just start freaking out, right? I'd been working in lab all day. I was in grungy jeans and a grungy t-shirt. I was not fit to be seen on television, let alone on the Today Show. So, it's the Today Show and I get to talk about bacon. I wasn't going to pass this up. So, you know, I'm running around campus trying to find a colleague who has a button-down shirt that I can wear so I look somewhat presentable. And it's the middle of May. It's unseasonably hot and unseasonably humid. You know, if thinking about being on television wasn't enough to make me sweat, this cardio that I was getting was certainly doing the job. But thankfully, you know, I found a shirt. I dried myself off. I made myself look okay. And I went over to our local NBC affiliate, which is just a couple blocks away from our campus in DC. And so, you know, in my rushing, you know, I was trying to think about what am I going to talk about? You know, I needed a plan. I needed a plan to go in. And so I came up with this idea that I was going to talk about evolution and the Maillard reaction. And this was a serious thing, right? Not just being able to talk about, you know, stuff on TV, but I was there representing this group in Spain, people who I've never met. Right, I needed to do their research justice. I needed to be coherent. I needed to be witty, and I needed to be just technical enough so that I could say something interesting without boring my audience to death. Right, boring the local TV people to death. And so, right, I'd come up with this plan. Right, I'm going to talk about evolution and the Maillard reaction. And so I get there. I get to the station, and I'm talking with the local producer, and he puts me at ease right away. And kind of goes through the process of how we're going to do this. He says, "Well, I've got three questions that I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to ask you the same three questions about 20 different ways. And so we get into things and we start. And it was a little off-putting, right? You know, you're answering this question and then he asks you again. I'm like, did you not hear what I just said? It was brilliant. But we go through this and, you know, I think I'm being witty. I'm being smart. You know, I talk about the research that this group in Spain had done and how difficult it was and really about the molecules that they found, right? Molecules like pyridines and pyrazines and furans, molecules that we find in other types of food that we eat. And I also talk about how these molecules, when you smell them on their own, right, away from the aroma of bacon, when you smell them on their own, they smell like something altogether different. Now, pyridine is one of these. I work with pyridine in my lab, and it smells like death. It is the worst. There are some, being a chemist, and if you're a chemist long enough, there are molecules that have pleasant smells to them and just molecules that you don't want to be near anywhere. And so pyridine is one of these for me. Pyridine gets me every time. And so, you know, a reasonable response after I'm done working with pyridine for the day is just to burn all of my clothes. But pyridine is important for the aroma of bacon and all of these molecules on their own, right? Bacon is, and the way we smell things and the way we smell bacon is an integration of all of these molecules at the same time. And if you remove one of those molecules, right, bacon smells a little bit different. And even if you remove pyridine, which smells like death, bacon doesn't necessarily smell any better, right? So all of these things are really important. All right, so I'm talking about this, and I get into also, right, thinking about why it is that we enjoy the smell of bacon from an evolutionary point of view. And when you start thinking about it this way, there are some things that make sense, right? So if you think back to our early ancestors, right, the food that they eat, right, is likely got bacteria and other things on it, right? To kill that bacteria, right, to kill the pathogens that are on their food, they would smoke the whatever food that they'd gotten, they would throw it into the fire, or they would salt cure it. So these are some of the original ways to process and to get our food to be edible. All right, now the early humans who did these things and who found the flavors that they made by doing this, by frying things or by salt curing or by smoking, the early people who found those flavors enjoyable are gonna have less pathogens on their food. They're going to live longer, and they're going to pass those enjoyment traits on to their children. And so really, this love of bacon that we have is written in our genes. You know, our DNA has rendered bacon irresistible. So, you know, I'm going through all this, and we finally get done. I talk for a half an hour on bacon science. It's wonderful, right? And I'm really proud of myself. And you know, we end the interview, and we go our separate ways, and you know, I start thinking, well, you know, which of my brilliant quotes are they going to use? And bum bum bum. And so, you know, the day that the airing is on, and you know, I'm really kind of excited. You know, it's not often that you get to do something like this and be on TV, and you know, and it wasn't even for anything that I did, right? I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. But I'm excited, and beyond the fact that, you know, I'm going to be on TV, the little bacon bit that's going on here, right after that, John Malkovich, a session with John Malkovich was airing. And so I have since decided that because I shared airtime with John Malkovich, I have a bacon number, a Kevin Bacon number. So my bacon number is now 2. So I get a bacon number for doing my bit on bacon on the Today Show. Appropriate, right? Okay. So the segment finally starts, and they start with a clip from the American Chemical Society, and the clip is playing, and then I show up, right? And there I am on TV, and I've got my name and my university underneath. I looked very official, and then I started to talk, and I said, "Bacon is delicious. It really is an amazing food. And when you fry it, it makes all of these wonderful flavors." All of that eloquence that I had done for half an hour of just brainy eloquence of wonderful communication, and they pick, "I really love bacon." You know, I was a little bit disappointed. But my friends and family, you know, they weren't. And they loved it. They thought it was the greatest thing ever. And I still get people stopping me to ask about bacon science. And some of my in-laws, who, you know, bless their hearts, some of my in-laws still call me Bacon Boy. And you know, I realized something, that the producers for the Today Show and my friends and family, they wanted to hear about my passion about bacon, right? They wanted to hear that. And once I said, I love bacon, that was it. They'd gotten what they wanted. And so since then, I've done lots of other interviews on food science things. And I've come to that realization that the reporter always wants to hear one thing. There's one thing that they want to hear. And the trick about it is you have to say what you want in the way that they want to hear it. So, you know, this is one of the lessons that I've learned. And if the Today Show was my 5 minutes of fame, you know, I'm pretty happy with it. I'm pretty fortunate. And I get to go through life being called Bacon Boy. And how awesome is that? So, thank you.
That was Matt Hardings. Matt is a chemist at American University. Matt's research involves putting nanoparticles inside of polymers to make new stuff that does new kinds of things. He also loves food and the science of food. His book, Chemistry in Your Kitchen, will be published this November. Thanks again to the San Diego Festival of Science and Engineering. This program was jointly supported by the NSF NASA Center for Chemical Evolution and the NSF Center for Aerosol Impacts on Climate and the Environment. We are, as always, grateful for the support of the Simons Foundation, who helped make this all possible. The Story Collider is produced by me, Brian Wecht, Aaron Barker, Ari Daniel, Christine Gentry, Skylar Bear, Shane Hanlon, Rosie Waldron, and Liz Neely. The podcast is produced by Zoe Saunders, and the theme music is by Ghost. Special thanks to the festival for hosting the show, and to Bacon. Thanks for listening.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.